It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. This is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, and that means we welcome in Ross Tucker. And Ross, it is always great to talk Penn State football with you.
You got that right, Jim, especially now. With everything going on in the world, man, I can tell you, I get very happy when I get a chance to just talk a little Penn State football with my guy, Jim.
Same here, Ross, right back at you. You know what? All year long, we've been reviewing the tapes of the previous game during the season. Now that the season's over, we're doing the overview. Last week, we took a look at the defense. This week, I want to get your overview of the offense. And when you do that, you always have to start at quarterback. And before you start your quarterback evaluation for the season, I want to throw one statistic at you. In the five losses that Penn State had, Sean Clifford threw eight interceptions. In the four wins, there was one interception. Go ahead.
Kind of funny how that works, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, kind of funny how that works. And, man, I mean, I feel like we could talk about this every week, but watching the college football playoff semifinals and just seeing how Justin Fields played, even Lawrence in a losing effort, and Mac Jones, you realize how important that position is. And I got to tell you, Jim, and maybe this is something somebody will ask in the Ask Ross next segment, but when you watch those teams, it almost makes me feel like Penn State's not as close as I thought they were. Is that fair, Jim? Like I thought coming into the year it would be Franklin's best team. I thought coming into the year that Penn State had a great chance to beat Ohio State, to be in the college football playoff. When I watch those games, I come across thinking, you know, Penn State's not as close to being at that level as maybe I thought they were. And I'm not trying to start off my Tucker's tape by bumming out our Penn State fans. I'm just trying to be honest.
Ross, that's reality. In fact, Dustin and I had a bit of that conversation earlier in the week. Yeah, they're as far away as they have been in years to that caliber of play in watching those teams play. That Clemson Ohio State game, you got the idea that Penn State was not in the same ballpark as those teams.
Yeah, I mean, my takeaway was I'd like to see Penn State play Notre Dame and see what the score would be, knowing that Notre Dame's not really on the same level as Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State right now. And I'm talking primarily, I'm just talking talent across the board. You know, I do the college draft podcast, Jim, with Emory Hunt, right? So we talk about like the top prospects in college football for the games that week and then make picks against the spread. And he broke down the top 10 prospects for both Alabama and Ohio State. And like, there's plenty of them, Jim. Like there's 10 legit NFL good prospects for both those. I don't, like, what would it sound like if we did Penn State's top 10 prospects? You know what I mean? Like they just don't have the same volume at that high a level.
Well, Ross, to reinforce that thought, you're talking about at the end stage, how they come out of college. I took a look at recruiting numbers over the last couple years to see the difference. Now, you know, the five-star guys, those are the elite. There's only about 33, 34 of them a year. In the last 3 years, Ohio State has brought in 11 five-star guys, Alabama 12, Clemson 9, Georgia 12. You know how many Penn State has in the last 3 years? One.
Micah Parsons?
He was prior to that. I did 2019, 20, and 21. I included this year's recruiting. So
Brandon Smith then probably.
Yeah, exactly. And if you expand that to top 100 recruits over that same span, the number difference is Ohio State 23 and Penn State 8. So it's not just the talent that they're producing, it's the talent they're bringing in, right?
Right. So here's the deal, right? If Penn State wants to get more of those, there's really only two ways you do it. You start paying the kids in high school and you cheat, which Penn State's not going to do, or you get to the college football playoff and kids believe that you can go to the college football playoff if you go to Penn State. Because right now, if you're a five-star and you want to play in the college football playoff, why would you not go to Alabama, Clemson, or Ohio State? It seems like they're in it every year. So Penn State has to break through, and maybe it'll be next year, so that recruits feel like we can do it. Although I will say this, the 2022 recruiting class for Penn State looking pretty awesome so far, Jim. They're dominating the state so far. I can't wait to, you know, break them down in the offseason, which is why I hope people listen all year round, because I'm going to break down these 2022 commits, you know, this offseason. And it's a very exciting class so far.
It really is, Ross. And we're getting sidetracked here. We could go this direction, and we will through the summer off-season months. But let's get back to that. The offense, we started with quarterback. Sean Clifford, Will Levis, who has a larger upside, or should this be a team that's looking outside through the transfer portal for their next quarterback?
Well, I don't think that they would get a transfer portal quarterback that would be better than Clifford and Levis in their second year of the system. We talked about this last week. I would argue that wide receiver is the only position on the offensive side of the ball that exceeded expectations. And that's a real problem for Penn State, because I'd say on both sides of the ball, there was really only one position group. Jahan Dotson took the next step. Parker Washington was a stud as a true freshman. And so I'll give Taylor Stubblefield a lot of credit, the new wide receiver coach, because he got his group to exceed expectations. So kudos to him. I'm still keeping my fingers crossed on Dotson. We still haven't heard anything there, Jim. So keeping my fingers crossed on Dotson. I mean, so far so good, I guess, that he hasn't said he's going pro, right?
So far, so good. Our fingers are crossed on that one. You know, I look at it, if Dotson does come back along with Parker Washington, that's a great start at wide receiver. Add to that, Ross, let's stay with receivers. Let's go to tight end. You know, you start with Pat Freiermuth, which is a great place to start. He gets hurt, but the two young guys stepped it up also. I'm not sure if you were counting the tight ends along with the wide receivers, but I thought they did pretty well also.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a silver lining from Penn State's season, which was obviously disappointing, it would be that you saw some real positives from younger players. So Parker Washington and, to a lesser extent, Keandre Lambert-Smith, at wide receiver. Tight end, Brenton Strange for sure, and to a lesser extent, Theo Johnson. And then at running back, Kayvon Lee, and to a lesser extent, boy, people are going to get really sick of me saying to a lesser extent, Keziah Holmes. But that's a real positive. They had a lot of freshmen play a lot of football and play at a pretty high level. And I would say to you, Jim, this was the case for me, in the college and in the pros, the biggest jump I made was from year one to year two. So freshman to sophomore in college, rookie year to second year in the NFL. So I think that's a real positive for Penn State. Receiver could have a chance to be a position of strength. I kind of hope, I think he graduated like 2 years ago, so I doubt he will, but I kind of hope Isaac Lutz comes back and uses the extra year now that they know he's like a reliable slot receiver. And because I'd like to have him there with Dotson and Parker Washington, you know? And he's so good on special teams. Offensive line, I thought they'd be better. I thought they'd be better. But remember, I had those concerns about Phil Troutwine. a new offense, new offensive line coach, new techniques, and that really showed up. That came to fruition. It took them a little while to figure it out, and then they played much better during the second half of the year. So let's hope they can build upon that. They should have Rashid Walker back. I think he'd make a poor decision if he left. Miranda back, Caden Wallace back. Those three are good places to start. I think Juice Scruggs will be in the mix. And then either C.J. Thorpe, Dez Holmes, some of these other guys. So I think the O-line has a pretty good shot. I would just say I thought they were not as good as I was hoping they would be this year. But part of that was because of the transition. You know, the one that was the most disappointing was quarterback. And running back as well, Jim. But, you know, what are you going to do when Journey Brown and Noah Kane are both out? I mean, that's your top two guys both out. So there's at least some level of understanding or excuse at running back. Wide receiver exceeded expectations. O-line, we kind of understand what happened there. Quarterback, I thought maybe there'd be a learning curve a little bit with Shiraka as the new coordinator. I did not think it would be as bad as it was. The positive would be, Jim, that they've got two. They're going to hopefully have a regular full offseason. Hopefully. Who knows at this point, man? But hopefully have a regular full offseason. And I'm hopeful that both those guys will be much better in year two of Shiraka's system and that maybe they compete for it.
You alluded to the coaching, and let's hit that real quick here, Ross. There was such poor performance early, especially at the quarterback position. How much of this can you lay on having new coaches there, specifically offensive line and Shiraka, who's not only the offensive coordinator but the quarterback coach?
It's impossible to ever be able to put an exact value on it. It's not all of it, but it's also something, if that makes sense, right? So if it was all because of the new coaching staff, and let's say that's a 10, and it had nothing to do with the new coaching staff, that's a 0. It's not a 1. It's not a 9. It's somewhere in the middle. You know, 4, 5, 6. We'll never know how much. It was clearly a factor, but also there were just very poor decisions made and careless with the football by both quarterbacks. Clifford more than Levis, but by both quarterbacks, probably cost Penn State 2 or 3 of those games. I mean, they probably were about a 7-2 team if you go back, and if they did the season over again now would be my guess.
All right. That is it for quarter number 2. Stay tuned for Ask Ross.
Hi, this is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. If you're a fan of our Keystone Kickoff Show and you don't want to miss any of our analysis and review of the Penn State football team, there are plenty of ways to make sure you don't miss a single segment of our show. The best way to hear everything that Dustin, Greg, Ross, Bob, and Andy have to say is to download our app, Keystone Sports, from your app store. You can also find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, Google Play, and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are the place for Penn State football analysis.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.